Hello and welcome to episode 42 of Your Exceptional Life. Marcus Pierce here with you. Welcome to the podcast, whether you are watching live on Instagram for the very first time, whether you're watching this on YouTube or over at marcuspierce.com.au. You may be listening on the podcast app, or you may be watching this as you're reading through the blog over at the website marcuspierce.com.au. Hope you are flying along. Remember, this podcast, Your Exceptional Life, all about honoring each of the eight key areas of your life: your life purpose, your movement, your social life, your nutrition, your love and relationships, your growth, your wealth, and your spirit, soul, or faith. Muck any one of them up and the consequences are disastrous. And so whilst many people believe you can't honor and excel in all areas of your life, all of my research suggests that you can. You know how strongly I am about this. If you are new to the podcast, welcome along. There are high standards on this podcast, but we don't like to play small in life. When you were born, nobody ever called you mediocre. And so this podcast is very much dedicated to unleashing the exceptional version of you. Now, I must say, before I kick into gear, and there is plenty to work through on this episode proudly brought to you by the Exceptional Career Breakthrough Program. There's a free 18-minute training video I've put together for those of you who may be stuck in your career. If you feel like you're stuck or you're looking for the next chapter, please go and put 30 minutes aside. There's an 18-minute video. There's a worksheet there. It'll probably take you 10, 12 minutes to fill out. I have no doubt you'll get clarity by doing this exercise. It's completely free. It's over at marcuspierce.com.au/stuck. That's marcuspierce.com.au/stuck. And then if you want to take the next level, you can do the Exceptional Career Breakthrough online program. It's only $97. There's about 4 hours of content there. And again, in my view, and based on the feedback from many people that have done that program, you'll get a lot of clarity and courage to take the next step in your career. Whew, this week, it's been a big one. I just recorded some episodes of 100 Not Out yesterday. And one thing that came up, which my great mate and co-host of 100 Not Out, Damien Christophe, asked me was, why am I so big into forgiveness? Why is it such a big part of my life? Why do I think about it a lot? Why do I talk about it a lot? Why does it mean so much? And I gave him my answer on 100 Not Out, but it really got me thinking about it more in the last 24 hours. And so I've decided to dedicate this episode to, I suppose, my process. I'm really not that much into 3 steps to forgiveness, but I also understand we like a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I'm going to share with you, 3 steps that I do routinely take if and when there's a need to forgive. And when I'm working with clients, these are 3 key steps, and there are more, but these are 3 key steps which I encourage anyone to practice regularly when it comes to forgiving and forgiving well. Not just forgiving a little bit and not just forgiving today, but really owning forgiveness over the course of your life. Now, before I do, I just want to give a couple of shout outs because there's some listeners that have been enjoying the podcast, and I want to mention one in particular, Georgina Warburton. Georgina loved the episode that we did on Your Exceptional Life on Imagine If You Had 6 Months to Live. Georgina was touched by that. She went out whale watching in Exmouth, went swimming with the humpback whales, with really that attitude of, well, what if it all ended tomorrow? So she ticked a bucket list item off, went to her own backyard. She's in WA, didn't go to the Great Barrier Reef, went to Exmouth. Well played, Georgina, inspiring, and I've added that to my bucket list. So good on you. You also liked the episode on the 10 things I do to, what was it? 10 things I do to deal with my spiritual laziness, I think it was. So again, thank you for the shout out there. Much appreciated. All right, so forgiveness. If you've been listening to the episodes prior, you may know that I've recently finished watching Schindler's List for the very first time. I'm currently reading Schindler's Ark, which is what the movie was based on the book. The book was written in 1982 when I was 1 year of age by an Australian, Thomas Keneally. The movie was made in 1993, so we're talking 24 years ago. I watched it for the first time, 2017. And my journalistic mind, again, if you don't know me well at all, I'm a journalist by profession. I studied journalism at school. I was in the media for 6 or 7 years. Whenever I'm watching a movie, particularly a non-fiction movie or reading a non-fiction book, I want to know the story behind the story. And so I've been looking for survivors of Schindler's List. So, quick backstory: Oscar Schindler, German, sets up an enamelware factory, then an armaments factory, and employs for want of a better term, up to 1,200 Jews in his factory and essentially saves them from the Holocaust, from death. And so I wanted to see who's still alive from the Schindler Jews. There's no one left in Australia who's still alive. Anna Reich passed away age 94 in 2015. From my research, she was the last one in Australia to pass away. I have found, though, one of the survivors, Selena Biniaz, who is over in California. She was the youngest female in on Schindler's List, and she will be joining us on 100 Not Out in the coming weeks. But it just, again, all of this research really gets me thinking about why do some survivors of the Holocaust live and live well and others don't? It really fascinates me because, again, if you've listened to some of my other podcasts, the oldest man up until recently was Yisrael Kristel, who passed away just shy of his 114th birthday. He was the oldest man alive up until his death, and he's a survivor of the Holocaust. And we're so much into mindfulness and gratitude and meditation and everything else, and we almost have become anti-stress, like stress is bad. And you look at some of the people that have lived the longest, most rich and fulfilled lives, and they survived the Holocaust. And they had to go through all of that emotional upheaval of the Holocaust. And upheaval puts it lightly. So without banging on, because I could seriously bang on about this forever and ever, I'm just going to talk about some steps to forgiveness. And again, don't take it from me. Take it from the people that have done it, okay? I haven't gone through a Holocaust. I say it over and again. I have lived a very sheltered life. So please don't think I'm sitting here on my high horse telling you how to forgive. I'm sharing with you the wisdom of others that have forgiven atrocities or people that have committed atrocities that you and I will probably never, ever have to go through. But if there's one thing I know, having worked with thousands of people around the world, there are many of you that have almost labeled elements, events, people's behavior in your life as unforgivable. And that's what I want to work with you on this podcast. So first things first on that, before we get into these three steps, is that the first belief really to adopt is that nothing is unforgivable. Nothing is unforgivable. And why do I say that? Because I look at some of the most, again, atrocious, unfathomable atrocities, whether it's a genocide, whether it's a mass murder, whether it's a gang rape, whatever you want to consider as the worst behavior of humankind. And I'm telling you right now, you will find someone that has forgiven and truly forgiven the perpetrators for that act. So for you to not forgive your parents for something, or a sibling for stealing money, or a co-director for embezzling, or someone else that's lied to you, or, you know, anything that you think is unforgivable, you can't forgive them. I'm here to say that look at what the biggest atrocities, and look at the human capacity to forgive, and I'm asking you to dig deeper. Because I also know on a selfish level that your forgiveness or lack of forgiveness has major impacts on your physical health. Now, that's a podcast and probably a seminar for another day, but this is not a small topic. This is in my mind, one of the most important topics in your own life, your own personal growth. All right, so that's the first thing. Nothing is unforgivable, all right? I'll share some examples over the course of this podcast to kind of drive that point home. All right, so step one, and I make this step 1A, to forgiveness, and that is, first of all, realizing and owning that your resentment and your lack of forgiveness only affects you. This is a statement which I first heard from Alice Hertz Sommer, who is the oldest female survivor of the Holocaust. What have I got here? I think this is Gary Ridgway. I'll talk about this in a moment, but Alice Hertz Sommer always said, you know, hate affects the hater more than the hated. So Alice Hertz Sommer, if she hated Hitler, who was that affecting more? Was it affecting Hitler, who's been dead for 60, 70 years, or was it affecting Alice Hertz Sommer? And she had the wisdom and the strength to go, well, that's my stuff. That's affecting me. And so when you can appreciate that your lack of forgiveness, it's impacting you a hell of a lot more than it's impacting the person that you're directing that resentment or hatred towards, then you begin to realize that this is your job to do something about. It's got nothing to do with the other person. Don't expect them to turn around and apologize, so to speak. This is your stuff. So, can you be selfish just for a moment and stop it? Stop the behavior, stop the belief, stop the perpetration of the resentment, of the lack of forgiveness, of the anger, of all of the things that it is that creates that feeling of ugh in your life. Can you cultivate the courage to stop that behavior? Because again, for people that are going through holocausts and genocides and mass murders and gang rapes or whatever it is, recognize that there are people that are working through it. So that's step 1A. Step 1B is to ask yourself these two questions. One, how has this event or person served me? I'm going to show you a video whilst this is happening because you won't hear it. But this is Gary Ridgway, who is known as the Green River Killer, murdered 47 women over the course of about 15 years. And what you're seeing here is the families of those victims telling them what they think before he gets sentenced. But you are also going to see, and you're not going to hear it, you're also going to see Robert Rule, a father of one of the victims, forgive Gary Ridgway. Now, if you go to marcuspearce.com.au, you will see that YouTube video. If you go to YouTube, you will see, just type in Gary Ridgway, and you will see the impact of one person forgiving someone for what would be perceived as the unforgivable. But here are two questions which I have no doubt were asked, that Robert Rule, who forgave Gary Ridgway, asked. One, how has this event or person served me in my life? What has it taught me about myself? How has it served me? You may find this very difficult to answer that question. I have no doubt if it's a really atrocious thing that's happened in your life, you will find it very difficult to answer this question. But this is the path of forgiveness. It's not easy. You can't just wake up and go, I forgive. Doesn't work that way. You must ask, how has this event or person served me? I suggest you write down at least 10 answers, but perhaps even 20 answers. And as you heard me talk about at the beginning of the podcast, there are 8 areas of life. How has it served you in your career? Maybe in the way you move your body, maybe in the friends that you keep, in the food that you eat, in the relationships that you have. How has it served you in the way that you learn and grow and what you learn and grow in? How has it served you financially? How has it served you on a spirit, soul, or faith level? You ask how it served you in each area of your life and be very curious. Go, you know, how has it served me? How has this served me? Not like, oh, it hasn't served me. There's no way it served me. No, how has it served you? Because if you have a belief that everything happens in your life for a reason and a purpose that does serve you, then you will come up with answers. Second question here is, what have I learned from this experience? From my co-director embezzling money, from my mum or dad, you know, not giving me money in an inheritance, from my brother doing this or my sister doing that or my friend doing this or, you know, maybe it's a global event, what's happened in Syria or the Holocaust or the terrorist attacks, whatever it is. What have you learned from those experiences? Has it opened your heart and soul? Are you not trivializing or maybe are you making more of an effort to be cordial in your daily life? Maybe you're talking to strangers more happily. Maybe you are trusting more because you're realizing how precious life is. Maybe you're hugging your children more, giving your husband or wife a kiss when they come home from work instead of busily making dinner. You know what? My husband did not die in a car accident. My wife did not die in a car accident. My kids got home safely from school. You give them a hug. You be present with them. You're cordial to strangers. All of these things, when you feel the preciousness and the gravity of life, sometimes the most horrendous events of the world bring about a more present you because you realize just how precious life is. Let's be clear here. You could get hit by a bus tomorrow. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Anything could happen to us today or tomorrow. So let's make every moment count, which is why my personal philosophy is to forgive easily. Seriously. We're all flawed individuals. We all do things which require other people to forgive us. It happens. But are you forgiving easily or are you forgiving with difficulty? Whew, I know it's deep and meaningful. Hang in there. Step 2 to forgiveness. Challenge your belief about how the world works. Now, I'll come back to Alistair Sommer because I want to go to Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn said this really well, and I think about this a lot, and I share this with a lot of clients, and it is this. The world, Jim Rohn's a Catholic, so he talks about God, doesn't matter who you believe in, Buddha, Muhammad, the world, Mother Nature, sunny, sunshine, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. In Jim Rohn's terms, and apply it however you want, the world has been set up in an interesting and peculiar and sometimes frustrating way. There is a conflict of opposites that we all exist in. We have love, we have hate, we have war, we have peace, we have heads, we have tails, we have right, we have wrong. How do we actually go about dealing with all of this? Think about war. There are no peacekeepers without war. There's no Mandela without apartheid. There's no Mother Teresa without poverty. There's no Alice Hurt Sommer without the Holocaust. My Wellness Couch teammate, Karen Smith, we wouldn't know Karen Smith's story without the Bali bombing. There's no Stuart Diver without Thredbo. As hard as it is to sometimes accept the conflict of opposites, we recognize that, you know, victory often comes out of massive adversity. It's a brutal yet beautiful at times setup that we live in. And so if you can live with this awareness that in order to make war, there will be peace. In order to have peace, there will be war. In order to have hate, love will shine through, and vice versa. In order to have love, we must know what hate is. You can't have light without the darkness. Can't have darkness without the light. All of these things, when you can appreciate that there is a conflict of opposites, and they will never go away. They will never go away. As soon as you have peace in your family, war will break out in your family somewhere. As soon as you have a friendship somewhere, there will be anti-friendship somewhere else. As soon as you appreciate that there is always a conflict of opposites, you can appreciate that there must be a way to just see more grace in the world. My boy Darby's just coming. You can go out there, mate. That's totally cool. All right, so that is step number two. Step number three is forgiveness. Expressing your forgiveness. Apologies, step number three to forgiveness is expressing your forgiveness. Here's why. The person you forgive may be dead, or it's just not appropriate for them to hear your forgiveness. Perfect example being, they have no idea of the feelings that you have. In any case, no matter what the scenario, it is very important for you to express your forgiveness somehow, to speak your forgiveness. Eddie Jaku, one of, again, a great Holocaust survivor in Australia, does a lot of the tours at the Jewish Museum in Sydney. I very much look forward to, I called Eddie yesterday and said, Eddie, I want to spend some time with you in person. We've interviewed Eddie a couple of times on 100 Not Out. I want to take you out for lunch, Eddie, and just talk to you and learn from you and understand more of your life. Eddie is 97, and he talks about his forgiveness, even though he'll never forget what happened in the Holocaust, which he ran away from for 10 years. He was on the run. He'll never forget what happened, but he lives with grace. And Eddie says, I am probably the happiest man you will ever meet. And you know why? Because I have no problems in my life, and you have no problems in your life. Because when you go through what Eddie Jaku has gone through, you very quickly recognize that you have no problems, because the contrast of gratitude, or the gratitude of contrast, you recognize very quickly that what you think is a problem, other people would kill to have your problems. They would love your problems. Absolutely. Think of it. So expressing your forgiveness, talk to your friends, talk to your family about the breakthroughs you've had in forgiving your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your kids or yourself or whatever it is. Talk it out loud. Don't just internalize it. Don't gratitude journal it. Don't write it down. If you do all of that, you have to express it some way. When you truly express it, you know, Eddie Jaku was just saying on the phone, you know, he talks in Canberra twice a year, but there's not a venue big enough for him to speak in. So they have to fly him in from Sydney twice because people just want to hear him talk over and over and over again. He's constantly expressing his forgiveness of the experiences that he went through. Every single day, every week when he's in the museum, he's expressing it. It's the cleansing of his soul. Forgiveness doesn't just happen like that. Every day it will be tested. You know, in Eddie Jaku's case, or any Holocaust survivor, there are genocides happening all around the world, which could be in their face, and they have that forgiveness tested day in, day out. If you are having troubles with a mum or a dad and you speak to them on the phone and one day you forgive them and the next day they say, you know, don't you think you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, or you should be doing this, and you're like, oh gosh, you know, like it's all coming up again for you again. You really have to work through this day in, day out, day in, day out. Forgiveness is the hardest personal growth exercise you will ever do. So please make sure you commit to it on a daily basis and express it. Talk it out. Whew. All right, hope you're hanging with me here. I've made some final notes here on forgiveness, because I could go on and on for this. First thing to recognize, forgiveness is not instant. As I've just said, it is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your own personal growth. don't beat yourself up on this path. It's a very difficult process. I know for my high-end mastery clients, like the ones that have been doing personal growth for a long time, when we go down to write a forgiveness letter and I have a structure to it, and it's almost like a fill in the blanks because it can get very emotional. It's really difficult for people to forgive certain people for certain things that have happened in life. And so please be gentle and kind with yourself through this process, particularly if you're working on forgiving yourself. That is the tricky part. I'm just gonna play a video whilst, Alice heard Soma talking. I'll just turn that down just in case. But I want you to please recognize that you must be kind to yourself through this process, because otherwise you'll give up. And I don't want you to give up on forgiveness. Again, I could do a whole nother podcast on the physical manifestation of a lack of forgiveness expressing itself in your body. All I'll say is, you know, you can cut out gluten and go on green juices and do 30-day cleanses and exercise like a trooper, but if you hold resentment and anger in your body towards people or circumstances in your life, no amount of health food is going to cleanse you of that forgiveness. All right, that is a purely mental, emotional, spiritual process which you must go through. All right. Again, I think I'll cut it off there because I'll be here all day talking about this. All I'm going to say is, if you have any questions on this, send me an email. I personally respond to as many as I can, marcus@marcuspearce.com.au. You can connect with me on social media, at Marcus D for David Pearce, that's P-E-A-R-C-E. When available, I do have some 15-minute free mentoring sessions that I do, but just in any given week, if I'm at home and I'm not on the road and the rest of it, I might just give away four 15-minute sessions. So if you want to see when the next one of them is available, drop me an email, I'll send you a link, and you'll see if I've got any of them scheduled in the near future. And if this is important to you and others, please share this episode, this blog, however you've come across this content, please share it with your tribe so that they can go on the path to forgiveness as well. And again, please don't take my word for it. This is not me on my high horse. This is Holocaust survivors. This is victims of mass murder, all types of things. So please don't take this from me. Take it from the people that have truly had to forgive what some people call the unforgivable. All right. Thanks again for your support. Look forward to connecting with you again. And until next time, as always, continue to live your exceptional life.